This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch, and a tragedy in the Sierra Madre foothills. Jeff, a very good evening to you. We've always enjoyed our critter features at the end of our Pacific Watch reports. And generally speaking, the critters are dishomed by habitat destruction. That means human beings. There was also the drought one year that was very bad, drove them down into the lowlands. You have your own certain mountain lions wandering around your ranchero in Orange County, and we talk about overpasses or creature passes over highways. I believe there's one being built now, the 101. But this tragedy, where did it happen, and what do we know? Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, John. This is something that occurred in Northern California, so basically east of Sacramento, up in the gold country, up in the Sierra foothills there. The county is called El Dorado Country. It's not El Dorado County. It's not, you know, densely populated. There are some population centers, and there's a very small town up there called Georgetown. In a remote part of that town, you know, it's one of these things where it gets smaller and smaller as you go farther back. There were people that were looking for deer antlers. In fact, these two brothers were out in the forest there looking for deer antlers for decor or something, and they were set upon by a mountain lion. And mountain lion killed one of the brothers and severely injured the other. And they were able to get the game wardens there or some, you know, first responders who scared off the lion. They weren't able to save one of the brothers. The other brother is hospitalized, my understanding, in very, very bad condition.
And odd, Jeff, we've talked about mountain lions, famous ones, the one that was celebrated in Los Angeles. I believe there's going to be a statue to him or something like that. He died in a car, struck him, I believe, on one of the highways. So it is odd for a mountain lion to attack a human being. They don't. That's a hard target. That's not their understanding of how to survive.
That's right. Mountain lions, by far and away, are not interested in eating humans or even attacking them. Now, we've spoken with Dr. Ted Stankiewicz. He's a professor at Cal State Long Beach. He runs the mammal lab there. And he's made some pretty important studies about mountain lions and their prey and such. And he's told us, or he's told me certainly, that, you know, the type of attacks you have on humans, and they're very rare, are almost always the mountain lions are in some sort of distress. They're sick is actually what they usually are. And I don't know if it's a rabies type of condition. I have not asked him about that. But he said they're sick, organically sick, or they have some sort of, you know, very bad injury. They're desperate. They feel cornered. And that's when they lash out and attack humans.
And we hope to talk to Ted Stankiewicz later this week to hear more details about this mountain lion. I report to you that my brother Mark, who lives in Auburn, and I don't think that's so far from the site of the attack, said that his neighbor in Auburn, sort of on a little hill, lost two goats, they believe, to a mountain lion last week. Now, I don't think it's, I'm not trying to say it's the same mountain lion, but it does suggest that there's famine or hunger or something like that in the Sierra Madre. And it's that time of year. The forest hasn't come in yet. It's still cold up there, I believe, or something like that. But, Jeff, mountain lions are big creatures. This would disturb a whole lot of people. Do you agree?
I agree. I think they tend to look at them as apex-type predators, top of the food chain. They don't have very many enemies besides, you know, humans. And they can be hunters of, you know, opportunity. So if somebody has a pen full of goats out there and these goats can't get away, then, of course, a mountain lion is going to take the opportunity to do something like that. They're looking for animals that aren't going to make them expend more calories or put themselves in danger to get a hold of them. And if something's penned up or in a pasture, that's even better for them. So, you know, you hear about these stories from time to time from ranchers up in the mountains there. And a lot of people don't tend to think of ranchers being up there, but they're not just down in the flatlands, down in the Central Valley. There are big livestock ranches up and down the Sierras, and there are big pasturing areas. And it's not unusual. I've seen mountain lions up there, but I've also seen, you know, large herds of cows just come across the highway, moving from lower to higher pasture. And, you know, people who have goats or who have family farms that have lambs. And so they're all, targets of opportunity for these great hunters, these big cats.
You tell me that there's a creature overpass at the 101. What does it look like, Jeff?
So this is down toward Los Angeles, just north of it as you go into Ventura County. They're building this, what is essentially an overpass. If you were going down the freeway or up the freeway, the 101, which is a major north-south on the west side of California, you would see this thing that looks like a freeway overpass. You would assume that once it's all built out, you're going to have cars and trucks traveling over it. But what it is it's a way for animals to cross the busy freeway area without being killed or without, causing accidents. So it's one of these things that's a great dual benefit both to the wildlife in the area and to the humans, traversing the area. And a lot of the money that went into this special overpass that's being constructed came from the Annenberg Foundation. So you're seeing a lot of private money go into this. There have been other situations like this or other structures like this throughout the world. And, I think of several in Europe I've seen that have been a great success. And they've, like I said, they've cut down the number of animals, especially, in threatened species, or they've cut down on car accidents because of things like hitting deer or other sorts of big animals. So this is a big plus. It's going to be a good thing for the area.
As you were speaking, I just had the image of Noah's Ark, two by two, they come. A parade. You're driving down the 101 and you see a couple of bears holding hands walking across the overpass. The Vegas news, it's positive, but at the same time, it's sentimental. They're taking down a hotel. What hotel and what is it? What significance?
They're taking down one of the great iconic hotels of Vegas, and that's the Tropicana. It's a movie that's shown up in all the movies. It's a hotel that's shown up in all the movies over the years having to do with Vegas, whether it was the mob or otherwise. It's just a great old, 66 years it's been there. I've stayed there. It's kind of been down on its heels these past few years as the newer resorts and casinos have come into play up the strip. But what they're doing is they're going to clear it away shortly to make room for the new stadium that the Oakland A's, as they move to Vegas, build their new stadium.
So the Tropicana is big enough that you can put a baseball stadium in, or there's more territory around it?
We're talking about a 35-acre area, and so that's going to be plenty big enough for the stadium. I don't know where they'll situate parking and some of the other things that you often need for a stadium. That might cover it all, but that's what they're looking at right now, a 35-acre footprint.
Yeah, that's the... As I recall, the numbers for that stadium are like the Boston Park, in the 35,000s, not one of the 50 or 60s.
That's right. It won't look like a football stadium footprint. There's a football stadium across the freeway over at Allegiant Stadium where the NFL Raiders play. So they've got that something huge there. I think it'll fit in the 35 acres quite nicely, and it's down that far end of the strip as you come into Vegas, so it'll be a nice kind of gateway welcoming type of place, but it'd also be out of the middle of the strip and you won't have to worry about the extra traffic that's already a problem there.
Vegas is nothing but a positive story, which is why Jeff and I enjoy talking about it before we do California. Okay, Jeff, you sent me an item of California item that had a bear looking like a slightly senior, out-of-shape bear. With a hobo stick over his right shoulder, and he's got his thumb out. California Republic. What is this, Jeff? What does this represent?
Well, the cartoon represents the state of California's finances right now. It's looking very glum. California just filed its 2021-22 audited financial statement, and they did it almost an entire year too late. But in it, they not only admit that the COVID-era unemployment fraud cost the state $29 billion, which they have to repay back to the federal government, by the way, but the state had $256 billion more in liabilities than it had in unrestricted resources. Now, after accounting for restricted resources such as purpose-specific state trust funds and bonds, the state still owes $55 billion more than it has. And nobody knows where they're going to make that up. So there's already a lot of talk about programs and agencies feeling the cuts. There are some dark times ahead for California economically.
Jeff, there was a $100 billion surplus when we did this story in 23. Was that a math error?
I don't think it was a math error. I think there are several things that contributed to it. One is, of course, you're still dealing with a lot of things from the pandemic, and that hit the industry. You had some big labor problems that shut down a major industry like, or area like Hollywood. Hollywood, out of business for months, cost the state billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars. On top of that, they had this idea last year when we had very heavy rains after a long drought, and a lot of cities were damaged, and it was difficult to get out because of floods and other problems. The state and federal government said, okay, we're going to delay filing deadline for taxes from April to October. And that honestly hurt both the state and federal government's coffers quite a bit. And then on top of that, you add inflation. But what it also says is that California has not been very prudent when it's come to planning. And on top of that, you've got the governor and the state legislature just throwing money out there, obviously to buy votes. But they say, there are a lot of Californians that are hurting, but they're paying for basically everything under the sun to people who are residents, to people who are undocumented. It just seems like they can't get rid of money fast enough. So all of these things are coming together in a perfect storm, and it does not bode well for the state.
$55 billion short. They issue a bond. They move on to another day. They kick the can. Is this must have happened before.
It's never happened like this. And there are some thoughts that when it's all said and done, and when the reckoning comes, you're probably looking at $100 billion. I tend to agree. I think based upon other projections I've seen and what I've seen in past history, I think the number is going to be much higher than what we're looking at now. And like I said, it's going to be dark times for the state.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch and Vegas Report. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.